This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Louise Taffer, as always, with Athos Syrianos joining me here in the studio. It's great to have your company this evening on a Wednesday night, 5 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time is when we start, finishing at 6 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, a whole hour to talk football.
That's dangerous.
A whole hour. Especially when it's off-season and there's all the transfers going on, pre-season friendlies.
Especially when Manchester United are in town as well. We spoke about that luxurious plane that they came on. Can you even call that a plane? They had dining tables, they had massage chairs, they had everything.
Five star hotel, more like it. And would you believe, despite that they came over on that gorgeous private jet, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said he's a little bit jet lagged. Can you believe that?
I can't believe that. It's impossible to get jet lagged. You could spend 40 hours on that plane and not be jet lagged. It's impossible.
It looked like a nightclub.
It did. There was so much space in there. It looked like an Airbus instead of an aeroplane. I don't know how he could possibly get jet lagged, but no, they have landed in Perth ahead of their game against Perth Glory at Optus Stadium Saturday night. I make sure you get around it because it's always fantastic when clubs like Manchester United come to Australia. They're not doing too much media, though, I don't think. No joint press conference so far, though. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has said a few things, Louise.
Yes, we did hear from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer today. It was his first press conference in Perth, Western Australia. And the Reds have actually been training. They held their first training session. The Red Devils held their first training session at the iconic WACA, Western Australian Cricket Ground, yesterday.
Many of them, especially the English-born players, if they were cricket fans growing up, would have appreciated being there at the WACA. It's a famous ground there in Western Australia. Had many great test matches, many great Ashes series as well. So
Ollie wasn't a cricket fan, and he said that.
No, I don't think so. But look,
he did front up to media, though, only half an hour ago when he was just saying that it's been very good so far. I'm not a great cricket fan, but some of the players and staff are, and it's been great to train at this fantastic cricket stadium. We know last year was disappointing, but we know what we have to aim for this season. He says we have to close the gap in a very competitive league and we have trophies to play for. United is about bouncing back and pre-season has been very encouraging so far.
Pre-season only just started for Manchester United and they've only got about a month or so till the Premier League kicks off again. It's so different comparing the two. The Premier League barely 2 months off, and here in the A-League we get about 4 or 5 months of pre-season. That's neither here nor there. Just because he's in Australia doesn't mean that he can't answer questions about one Paul Pogba, and he insists that Manchester United will not be forced into selling Paul Pogba, and that's all he gave away in a press conference this morning.
That's it, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said. Paul has never been a concern for me. When he's on the pitch, he's working hard. He's a true professional, and he's a proud boy. He's been fantastic so far in training. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer also commented on some of the other players like David De Gea. He said, so many times I repeat how lucky I am to have him in goal, and we hope he stays here for many years to come. Of course, David De Gea has been linked away for many seasons now. And
he very nearly was signed by Real Madrid a few seasons ago, and who knows how that would have turned out for Manchester United. It is very hard to not only find a world-class goalkeeper, but to retain one. And in Manchester United's case, De Gea has been there for a few years. He's been a fantastic servant of the club, a world-class goalkeeper. So he is probably the one player they would not want to sell under any circumstances.
No, especially when the defence is a little bit touch and go at the moment. They need David De Gea in goal because he saved Manchester United on many occasions throughout the season, despite his dip in form.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll have a big season in season 2019-20 because a bit of that pressure might have come off a bit. We saw he didn't have the best World Cup, and that might have just kept going into that Premier League season, that a sort of dip in form. But now it's almost as if the shackles are off. There are no real expectations with Manchester United this season, so they can probably...
Well, they're not in the UEFA Champions League. They're down in the bottom of Europa.
Exactly, and many
people have to fight through.
Will be expecting Manchester City and Liverpool to once again lead the lines. They're the same with Tottenham and Chelsea. Not so much Chelsea, but Tottenham. Probably those three sides as the top three, if you're looking at it right now. So for Manchester United, they've got nothing to lose, really. No real expectations. This season can be whatever it wants to be for them.
We heard from Marcus Rashford, who too joined Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the press conference in Perth. And he was asked, given they have such a big task to qualify for Champions League next season, is a 20-goal season an aim for him now?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like now I'm in a better sort of condition to do it. You know, it's been tough. Pretty much every pre-season I've had a tournament or something with the national team. Then you break shorter, you have to come back quicker, and you know it can be difficult to start the season up and running. But I feel like this year I've managed it. Between me and the manager, we've managed it better, and you know, physically I feel in better condition. I don't think you'd put a number on it, but you know, you want to score as many goals as you possibly can, and you know, for us forwards it's just about goals and assists, and if we can do that amongst us, you know, we have a lot of talent in the team, so you know, we don't know how many goals we can score.
That was Marcus Rashford chatting there all the way in Perth. Yes, Manchester United are in town because they do have an upcoming friendly against Perth Glory on Saturday evening. We also heard from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on a number of other players who have been linked away. The big news for me was seeing Paul Pogba return to the fold and named in this travelling squad who have come out here to Australia because he has been heavily linked away to Juventus and also Real Madrid. Now, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said, I have spoken to Paul, Lukaku, Rashford and Jesse Lingard. And as far as I'm aware, we don't have any bids for any of our players. So it doesn't seem they're going anywhere anytime soon. And after this, we do know Manchester United will also face Leeds United in Sydney before they take on a number of other clubs on their pre-season tour.
So they'll have a decent pre-season here in Australia against one of the best sides in Perth Glory, who will come out with lots to prove. Not quite sure what squad Tony Popovich will be putting out there tomorrow night. He's got a wealth of options there with Bruno Funaroli as well, and Diego Castro, Andy Keogh. And there'll be players like Nick D'Agostino who will be putting his hand up, a new recruit from Brisbane Roar, to really, you know, show him what he's got. And he could be a bolter for the start of the season as well. And then, of course, they go to Sydney to face Leeds, as you mentioned, who were sitting on top and looked almost certain to get promoted back into the Premier League, but just fell short in that semi-final. So there'll be plenty to play for Leeds United, in particular in that pre-season against Manchester United. It'll give them loads of confidence if they can get a result. We know in these pre-season games, the intention isn't necessarily to win, but it'll do a lot for confidence for the Leeds United players if they can play well against Manchester United.
That's exactly right. And another player who hasn't ever been to Australia is Manchester United's defender Scott McTominay, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, it is. It's my first time obviously in Australia, and it's a pleasure to be here, to be fair. It's a country that I've never been to, and it's exciting for all the boys to be somewhere different to other pre-season tours that we've had in my time as well, so it's an exciting time for everyone. Yeah, the young boys, aren't they? So it's so easy for them to come and settle in and be part of the boys straight away, and you can see that with a pair of them. They're both very, very nice boys, and obviously very hard-working boys as well, and that's one thing that's going to be demanded on them in this pre-season trip. And as I say, it's so, so important that we do get that bond, and obviously last season we knew that it was nowhere near good enough for Manchester United, but it's what we do on the pitch now. It's what the standards that we set on the pitch, and it's how we go about everything on the pitch rather than talking and different things like that. It's focus time, and next season's going to be hopefully a big one for everyone involved.
That is young Scott McTominay chatting there in Western Australia, his first time in the country. And the team seem to be quite delighted that they aren't doing the same old this pre-season, visiting the same countries that they always go to.
Well, Australia is very far away, so it's not as though they can just come to Australia whenever they want.
But when you're on a plane like that...
That is true.
You can put up with the distance. It's only 16 hours, I think they said it was.
And Manchester United came to Australia a few years ago where they played an A-League All-Stars team. I think Arsenal did the same as well. So it's been a while since they've been down under. And I'm sure after their stay here, they'll certainly want to come back, given they've got such a big supporter base down here.
That's exactly right. And we know that Pogba was United's highest goal scorer last season, netting 16 goals. Lukaku has been linked to Inter Milan. It remains to be seen what happens with these players after this Perth Glory game and after they play Leeds United. Where do they go? You know, will they be on their own separate private planes elsewhere? I hear that Inter officials are actually set to meet with Manchester United officials in the UK later this week. So maybe that could be on the cards over the next coming days for him.
But it's weird because generally when players go on these big pre-season trips, it's a fair indication that they're going to stay at that club for that transfer window.
We know that Matthias De Ligt, he has been linked to Juventus. That deal has been all but done. Right? And yet he shows up to Ajax's training. Now, that's because he's currently, technically, under contract.
They're not coming to Australia. I think if Ajax were coming to Australia,
it's the same kind of principle, don't you think?
Not really. I think if your team's travelling somewhere, that they'll generally take the players who they want for that season. And training's training because you still have to rock up because you're still technically employed by Ajax. But you are right.
It's the same with tours. You're technically still employed by the club.
The clubs can make decisions as to who can come and who can't. But look, it is Manchester United we're talking about, and we're talking about guys like Paul Pogba, so anything can happen. I think he'll stay at least for this transfer window. I think January could be a different story because we tend to see a few big moves in the January transfer window. But I think they'll use the first few months of the Premier League season to see, you know, where he's at you know, mentally and whether he wants to be there. And if he's in form then and he's happy at the club, then I'd say there's no reason why he can't stay for the future. But it all comes down to that start of the season. And for Solskjaer as well, they have to start well for his own good and for Manchester United people to be convinced that he is the one to bring silverware to the club.
We are exactly a month away from the start of the new English Premier League season. And so it'll be interesting to see what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer does with his starting 11 come Saturday evening. And I'm sure it'll be telling also in their performance as to where they're at. We've even heard reports saying that the players are a little bit not scared, but they're
on alert.
They're just a little bit concerned as to what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to do, because going by the preseason, one in particular, and they didn't name which player, but one player did come out and say, we're not quite sure the depth of his tactical nous because all we seem to do is run this preseason. So I think they're questioning him a little bit, but well, as I said, we'll have to wait and see what happens on Saturday night. I think all eyes will be watching this game, especially a lot from overseas, because they'll too be interested to see what the fallen giants have to bring and have to offer against an A-League team who also is looking to recover from what happened in that A-League grand final.
Yeah, so two teams with lots to prove. Perth Glory, of course, will be very excited. We will be speaking with their CEO, Tony Pignata, tomorrow evening. I'm sure he's wrapped that Perth will have another chance to sell out Optus Stadium. A big Saturday night, a crowd of about, you know, 60,000 is expected as Manchester United come to town. Can we expect Bruno Fornaroli to make his first appearance for Perth against Manchester United? It'd be a great way to make your debut for your new team.
I think yes.
He's in the fold?
Perth Glory are without a number of players. And last night, Perth Glory played their first preseason friendly against Bayswater City, and they did beat them. And let me take you through their starting 11. They had Liam Reddy in goal, Shane Lowry, Tomislav Mosella, Jacob Tratt, Joel Chianese, Ivan Franic, Neil Kilkenny, Juan De, Brandon Wilson, Chris Harold, and yep, you guessed it, Bruno Fornaroli.
So that's a fair indication. And we saw a young Popovic came on at 1.2, and I think he even scored a goal.
He did. He did score a goal. And I think his brother, no, he scored two. He scored two goals in that match. So Great to see him getting on the score sheet, and no doubt he'll too feature in Saturday night's game.
I have no doubt that Popovich Senior will pop Popovich Junior on, because we saw him, I think, one or two times last season, and he looked all right, still very young, but it is a friendly, and the friendlies are always the best times to play youths, and we know Perth Glory have an abundance of youth players in their ranks, so, and we can expect to see many of those, considering, I think, in these friendlies, the substitutions are unlimited.
They are. You're right. Substitutes are unlimited, so he can field a bench of all Perth Glory's youth team.
Mm, and that'll be fantastic to see. He could even put a starting 11 of all Perth Glory youth players. We saw the Melbourne Victory do that against Liverpool a few years ago when they came to town and played at the MCG. Ange Postecoglou played many Victory fringe and youth players who gave Liverpool a good run for their money in that first half in particular. So Tony Popovich might want to do that. And I would love to see a lot of Perth Glory fans get out there, because we know generally when these big clubs come to town, the stadiums can just be filled of their colours, but our homegrown support isn't shown too much. So I'd love to see plenty of purple in the stadium, as well as that Manchester United red.
I'm sure we will see lots of Perth Glory fans. They'll rally around their beloved club over there in the West. And Athos, we might take a quick break, because when we come back, we'll dive into some of the latest A-League news going around.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Louise Taffer and Athos Syrianos joining you here in the studio for another edition of Evenings on FNR. We've just been talking about Manchester United, who are in Perth for their upcoming friendly against Perth Glory on Saturday evening. And there seems to be a bit more going on in Australia at the moment. Of course, all the A-League clubs are getting ready for the upcoming season. And we have heard today that Melbourne Victory have unveiled their new head coach, who will succeed Kevin Muscat, and that is Marco Kurz.
Look, I think if a coach come in a club, you have a lot of work to do. A new coach always brings a new philosophy, a new culture, a new strategy with new structures, and that means I need to speak with everybody in the club to explain my ideas, but also to get to know what was in the past, and then to find a good way for a successful future. And at the other side, I think it's very important to get to know each player, to know the player as a person, as a player as well, to start with the training process and to form a strong and a hungry team. I think we need a hungry team for the future. That's important. You ask about the squad, about the roster. I think there are also squad positions that must be filled with high-quality players. At the moment, we are in discussions with players from overseas and Australia as well. And we are looking forward to build a strong and talented team for Victory. But it needs time.
With thanks to Melbourne Victory, that audio coming from there. And that's Marco Kurz chatting. He has been unveiled as Melbourne Victory's new head coach, and that was his first press conference.
Yeah, he made a few interesting points there that Melbourne Victory fans will be keen to see if he follows through, that he's speaking with many players overseas and Australia based, as all coaches tend to do at the professional level. We've just had a comment from Tom. He says, "Kurz, come back to Adelaide. The fans loved you." And that's absolutely right. The fans did love Marco Kurz.
The fans were heartbroken, loved, weren't they?
Absolutely. He took this Adelaide United side. They were, a penalty shootout away from a grand final. They got so close. He did so well with that team. And he's followed through. Tom, and says, "A great coach. Very sad to see you go." So I think the Adelaide United supporters have sent Victory a message saying that you've got yourselves one hell of a coach. And it's always exciting when a new coach comes to a club. And I'm sure the Victory fans are just as excited that Marco Kurz will be there He knows the A-League quite well. He's been here for a number of years, and he knows what it takes to become successful. He's taken, you know, a side at Adelaide United where he didn't quite have the resources he probably needed to build a successful championship-winning side, but he nearly did that, and I think that just goes to show how good of a manager Marco Kurz is.
And he also took out the FFA Cup.
That he did. So you can bet your bottom dollar that the Victory will be taking that FFA Cup very seriously as well.
Let's touch on the ins and outs so far for Melbourne Victory, because they haven't
done much
business in this current off-season, yet they have lost a whole heap of players.
Who have they lost?
They have lost Ramat Akbari, Bayana, Keske Honda, Jai Ingham, Jorg Niedermeyer, Carl Valeri and Costa Barbarousis so far. We've also heard James Troisi has been heavily linked away, but that hasn't been announced as of yet. A little bit of a rebuild for Marco Kurz.
Yeah, well, the same thing happened the year before when we were scratching our heads saying, who are Victory going to sign? Who are they going to sign? And they bring in Honda, Toivonen, Bayena. But the players they've lost, you know, they're big omissions. You look at the ones they've lost so far: Honda, Barbarousis, Valeri, Niedermeyer. That's four strikers. That's your spine up the field. So massive losses. Valeri, of course, retired. He was a fantastic servant and captain for the club. They did miss him when he wasn't there, when he was injured last season. They missed his tenacity in midfield. So that'll be hard to replace. But they will have to really look at this transfer market and maybe even elevate some youth. We know Lisiotis is one of the players who moved from City to Victory in search for more opportunity. He could be one that could come through. Victory fans will be very pleased, though, that they've kept Ola Toivonen, and whoever they can find to partner up with him, I think, will really benefit, because Toivonen is such a world-class striker, and he's almost a pull and an incentive to come to Victory to play alongside him, I think.
Melbourne Victory have to build around Ola Toivonen at this point in time.
I think that's what they're intending to do. And Marco Kurz did say that Ola Toivonen is a player who we'd love to work with. He didn't quite have the chance to work with a striker of that calibre at Adelaide United, and he may do, so you can only imagine what he can do with someone like Ola Toivonen leading the lines up there.
It was beautiful to watch Toivonen last season because he was able to effortlessly unlock defences.
Well, you've got a striker who had just scored against Germany at the most recent World Cup, and I think we saw he almost exceeded expectations, I think, at Victory.
He did, and I think Honda under...
Yeah, well, Honda got injured, and he was a bit unlucky that he missed as many games as he did, but I think because Victory signed Honda and Toivonen at the same time, we didn't quite grasp how significant it was that Victory had signed Ola Toivonen. And it was only when he started playing and scoring that everyone went, geez, this guy, you know, he knows what he's doing. And this season will be a big season for him. There'll be a lot more expectations on him to perform. I'm certain that he'll be able to rise to the occasion, but there won't be the likes of, you know, Honda and Bob Bruce to support him. At the moment, he still has Troisi and Antonis, who are terrific players for Melbourne Victory. They're quality. So, of course, it'll be interesting these next few months to see what kind of players Marco Kurz and the club can draw to Melbourne Victory.
And did we hear any more from Marco Kurz?
We did hear from Marco Kurz. It was a long press conference today. He was decked out in the full
he did
Victory
look
gear.
Quite smart, didn't he?
He looked very smart, Marco Kurz. We know Kevin Muscat, it was one of the things that he almost made iconic at Melbourne Victory, the fact that he was wearing all those suits. And it was weird. I've never quite seen Marco Kurz in a suit before. He was always a tracksuit guy, so it would be interesting to see how he dresses come round to him. But this is what he had to say at the beginning of his press conference this afternoon.
Firstly, I'm very excited, and it's an honour for me now to sit here as the Melbourne Victory coach. I think the interview was a long process with honest dialogues between the chairman and the rest of the panel, and I think to find out if we were on the same page, it was very important. I think it was a very important part of the process, and I think now we have the feeling we were the right fit for each other. That's important. I think for me as a person, maybe for Philip as well, the opportunity or the chance to coach a big club with a strong history with passionate members, with a fantastic fan base, is a great chance for me. And Melbourne Victory was always a strong opponent we played. And now, I'm excited and it's a pleasure.
That is Melbourne Victory's new head coach, Marco Kurz, chatting there. And how spicy will the old rivalry be?
Yeah, the rivalry between Melbourne Victory and Adelaide will be stepped up a notch as Marco Kurz goes from red to blue. And they've had some tremendous matches over the last few years, dating back to the old Musket and Kuzmina days, to all the grand finals. And they're two clubs who aren't too fond of each other, let's just put it that way. And one of Victory's other rivalries will be heat up quite quickly, Sydney FC. And I do like what Sydney FC have done this transfer window. They've really attacked it. They remind me of Perth Glory this time last year, where Perth hit the ground running in the off-season after a poor season the one prior, and they've gone and signed quality players. Arguably the best player at the Wanderers, Bomjahan, one of the best players at Victory, Barbarousis. They've strengthened their depth, and it is still early, and a lot of the sides aren't complete as of yet, but you'd have to almost pencil in Sydney FC as a top two side already for this upcoming season.
So do you think that they might be able to go back-to-back?
I think at the moment they're the team to beat. Like I said, they're reminding me of what Perth did the year before, where they went and really attacked the transfer window. They set their intentions early. Interesting to hear whether these deals were in place long before, you know, the start of the transfer window. Not sure what other moves they've got planned, because I'd imagine that salary cap is quite tight as it is when you factor in Milos Ninkovic is there as well, and Adam Lafondra. They've got class oozing all over the place. I don't think they've lost too much talent. So Sydney FC for me at the moment are the favourites to take out silverware once again.
Athos Syrianos, an early call there.
Yeah, well, they're the most complete side at the moment. Now,
even though they have lost quite a lot of players, let's just go through that list. Alex Brosk, who's retired, Sim De Jong, Gushanashad, Anthony Caceres has been promoted, so mm-hmm. he still stays there. Daniel De Silva, end of his loan spell. Josh Brillante, Aaron Carver, Jop van der Linden, Mitch Austin, Jacob Tratt, and Cameron Devlin.
So if you look at Sydney FC's starting team from last year, there are still a lot of quality players there, and they've really added to it with Bomjahan and Barbarousis will come straight in. McGowan, of course, another good acquisition. So yep, they're looking really good at the moment. I know championships aren't won in July or 2 months out, 3 months out before the A-League season.
It's all telling in their pre-season how they go with that.
But what's good about this is you bring in players early and they can gel and travel together and get to know one another. The fact that, you know, Barbarousis and Bomjahan and McGowan are all mixing with Ninkovic and Lafondra and all these kind of guys, it's, you build chemistry. That's the only way you can do it. There's no point building chemistry in the first 3 weeks of the season when you've got 5 months of preseason. And Sydney FC, I think, perhaps took a leaf out of Perth Glory's book, and to get all these signings done, you know, relatively early, build a strong core, which they've done, and that could be, you know, the team to beat next season.
I think it's certainly the key for success. As you say, after looking at Perth Glory's template last season and trying to emulate what they did, they brought in all the players early, they had a solid preseason, and then they were fit to go from round one. And you could see it. You could see that they were sharp, they had the cutting edge and the X factor, and all the other clubs seemed to be playing catch up. It's like, oh, well, round one, we'll start to get the engines going then. But Perth, the engine had already started and it was flying.
And Perth Glory, as we mentioned, have brought in Bruno Fornaroli and Nick D'Agostino. So at the current stage, their front third will consist of Fornaroli, Keogh, Diego Castro as well. And Diego Castro is 36. So that acquisition of Nick D'Agostino, I'd say Castro will almost be a mentor to D'Agostino, I think. I think he's made a really good move in going to Perth Glory. Still only, you know, 21 years old, so plenty of time for development, and he'll have some quality players to show him the ropes there. We know they have lost a few players, like Jason Davidson, who was a big part of their success last season. But
he's been unveiled at Ulsan Hyundai.
A massive club there in South Korea, and he'll be playing, you know, Asian Champions League for years to come. He's a very important player down at left-hand Australian side. So wishing him all the best. But knowing Tony Popovich, he'll have a few tricks up his sleeve. They, of course, have another thing to worry about, the Asian Champions League. So Popovich has been there and done that before. So I'd say preparation will be good for Perth Glory. Their only challenge will be scheduling. And we know that not only is Asia pretty far from Australia, it's a bit closer in Perth, but they'll also have to travel far domestically as well. So I'm keen to see what plans they're going to put in place to ensure that everyone's fit and healthy, and considering the A-League squads aren't too big as well.
Yeah, definitely. And it'll be interesting to see how Perth Glory goes in the Asian Champions League. I wish, and I said this throughout the season at the time, I wish that Perth Glory could have entered the Asian Champions League with that squad that they had.
It would have been good. That would have been really good. But unfortunately, they just didn't qualify because they were so bad the year before. But now they're in. It gives them a great chance to show off on Asia's biggest stage, because we've never seen the likes of Keo and Castro or even Fornaroli playing in Asia. And now we're going to get that wish. And they're a side that really has to do well, as do Sydney FC. Sydney FC get another crack in Asia. I thought Sydney were so unlucky in the Champions League last year. They got themselves into just so many great positions but just couldn't hold on. And
I think the big loss was that game on home soil against Shanghai SIPG.
Was that the 3-all game?
They could have easily won that, but they conceded 2 goals in the second half due to silly errors, and they just switched off. You could see that they just switched off, and that's... You can't do that, and especially against the likes of Shanghai SIPG with Hulk and Oscar and Elkerson, experienced players who are going to exploit the weaknesses if they're there.
And that's the thing that gets me about a few of the Australian sides that go to Asia. The Wanderers, I think, showed us how you need to play in Asia, and that's, you know, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. You cannot expect to go up against your Hulks and Oscars and these kind of teams, or the teams with these kind of players, and expect to win in a shootout. They will beat you every time if you're going there, you know, to score heavily. I think the Wanderers showed that, you know, you just not hold on for dear life and go ultra defensive, but do whatever you can to make sure that they don't score and you win those 1-0 games. And Tony Popovich was the coach of that team, so you can expect a similar sort of style at Perth Glory, because you can't expect to go up to these teams with, you know, millions and millions of dollars of budget and expect to beat them 5-4 or 4-2, because that's just not going to happen. You're going to leave yourself far too vulnerable. And I think that's where Victory sort of let themselves down in the recent Champions League.
Oh, that was so underwhelming.
Mm.
So underwhelming by Melbourne Victory. And again, does that come back to the fact that Kevin Muscat didn't really adapt to how the Asian Champions League, you know, is and the strength of the competition? He is qualified season in, season out, and yet we still see and saw the same results. So hopefully Marco Kurz can do a little bit better.
Yeah, it was a bit unfortunate for Kevin Muscat not to get that success in Asia. It was the next thing on the bucket list for Melbourne Victory, and he'd won everything else. So it was a bit unlucky for him that he wasn't able to get at least out of the group stage in Asia. This is, of course, Evenings on FNR, Athos Syrianos with Louise Taffer. If you'd like to get in touch with us and be part of this conversation, 99449999903 if you're outside Victoria. If you happen to be in Western Australia and are heading over to Optus Stadium this Saturday to watch Perth Glory take on Manchester United, please let us know. Otherwise, you can comment below on the Facebook Live or tweet to us at FNR_radio.
Yes, please get involved. Another club who has had a massive turnaround is Wellington Phoenix. Now, let's just take a look at their outs. Philip Curto, Max Burgess, Roy Krishna, Nathan Burns, Anthony Golick, Justin Gully, Michael Kopczynski, Ryan Lowry, Sheridan.
Does this list end anytime soon?
David Williams, Andrew Durante, and Tom Doyle, all out.
A few of those players have gone over to Western United. Andrew Durante and Philip Curto and Curto, two of the known starters for Western United. For Wellington Phoenix that made the switch over to Western United. I was surprised by that Durante one, considering he's been Wellington Phoenix through and through, such a big advocate for that club. He's almost the first person you think of when you think of the Phoenix, but I suppose that offer was just too good to refuse. They're another club that are sort of put in a very interesting position. They'll have to almost do a rebuild, which is a shame because they did so well last season, and we always knew that the offers were going to come for Roy Krishna, who is the biggest out, really. He's gone to India, I believe, and he was a player who we all thought at one stage would stay after getting his New Zealand citizenship. We thought, right, that's it. That's as good an indication as any that he's going to stay. But it just wasn't the case. And they also lost Sarpreet Singh, who went to Bayern Munich. It's a fantastic move for him. And, of course, David Williams is that other one. So they're three big players from last season who contributed so much in that attacking third all move. But I suppose the exciting part now is they can find themselves new heroes.
Well, that's exactly right. And it seems to me like the squad that Ufuk Tale has assembled so far is quite young. Let's take a look at it. You've got Perth Glory's Walter Scott, Joshua Sotirio, Academy product Ben Wayne, Callum McCowart, Cameron Devlin from Sydney FC, Liam McGing, who was actually announced only yesterday, I think. So another new signing. We've got Luke Devere from Brisbane Roar and Stefan Marinovic from Bristol City.
So Luke Devere will partner up with Stephen Taylor, you'd think, and that's a pretty decent defence in the A-League. He was a player much loved by Brisbane Roar fans. Didn't get to see Tim too much last season, but I'd say he will fit in quite nicely there at the Phoenix. And one of their priorities will be, defensively speaking, and try not to concede too many goals. As they did last year, I thought they defended quite well at times. They finished sixth last season, and you thought they might sneak into the top four, but a few poor results at the end of the season saw them drop, which meant that they had to play the victory in Melbourne in that first elimination final, which is, I think, too tough a task for any side. So I'm keen to see how they go. Can they reach the same heights as last season? I think teams will be a bit more switched on with the Wellington Phoenix. They won't take them so lightly. But in saying that, I think the Phoenix, you know, it's an open book for them. They can be the season can be whatever it wants for them. New coach, brand new side. I'd say it'll take a bit of time for the team to gel. But there's no reason why they can't finish in the top six again.
No, but I think they have lost a lot of experience. They have lost a lot of experienced players. So in this preseason, they're going to have to hit the ground running, really. They really are. So if they can have a good preseason and work out the way forward, I think, a top six shouldn't be out of reach.
Yeah, it shouldn't be out of reach. I think that should certainly be the priority for Wellington Phoenix. I know what it takes to be in there. Ufuk Tale, he's been at Sydney FC, so he's been at one of the most successful clubs in the A-League, so he certainly knows what it takes to get to that next stage and finals and win silverware. So it'll all come down to the season for Wellington. As you mentioned, we're not quite sure what to expect from them, but they will need to sign some players fairly soon if they want to reach those ambitions.
Another club who I'm not really sure as to what to expect this upcoming A-League season is Melbourne City.
Mm-hmm.
Another club that was a little bit underwhelming last season.
Well, they've been underwhelming for several seasons, Louise.
Shh, I was just trying to flatter them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not be so harsh like you, Athos.
No, but the one signing that I'm excited by is Craig Noon, who's had a wealth of experience at Cardiff. He's had over 380 appearances in English football, whether that be in the Championship, Premier League or League One. He spent a lot of time at Cardiff, 158 appearances. He comes in almost to replace Luke Bratton in that role. He could be a vital midfielder for Melbourne City this season.
Yes, and now that Denny Jonro has returned to the fold, I would like to see Denny starting week in, week out. I think it's really important that Denny is given a go because he has been over at Pec Zwolle, and it will be nice to see him partner alongside him.
And he's 21, so still at a very, very
About
good age.
20.
So still at a very good age, but he's gotten so much experience over there in Europe. And you'd say
20, yes.
You'd say he's a player who could be knocking on the door to start at Melbourne City this season. They did lose as well Riley McGree, who was such a big player for them, and Richard Delatt, both of whom I think were their leading goal scorers last season, joint on 7. Bart Schenkeveld, though, was the big fish that had to depart Melbourne City. Unfortunately, just couldn't quite work out there. For me, he's in the top three centre-backs we've seen in the A-League.
No doubt, 100%.
Yeah, him and Del Pierre for me are the two best I think we've seen.
He was just so clean all season. He barely gave away any fouls.
No, and he scored that wonderful goal against the Western Sydney Wanderers as well to win it in stoppage time. But yeah, generally I'll use the comparison with Melbourne Victory. When they lost Mathieu Delpierre, it just wasn't the same without him there. And I think I'm fearing it might be the same with Bart Jengeveld, because he just made everyone else look and play so much better. He just he was such an imposing figure for the opposition and yet such a calm and reassuring figure for his teammates. And he partnered up well, whether it was with Richard Delatt or with Harrison Delbridge. And he just made that City defence look so good. At one stage, I think they were the best defensive team in the A-League, and thanks to him.
They were. And I don't think that they had conceded from any set pieces in the whole season.
Well, that's a very good stat, and Bart Jengeveld is a tough man to beat in the air, the Dutchman.
He is, and as I said, he was beautiful to watch because he's a very clean defender and he doesn't give away fouls, and I think many budding young defenders should watch what he did last season and try and emulate him and use him as a good guide moving forward. We've had Dan come through on Facebook Live. Hello to you, Dan. Thank you so much for tuning in. He says, verdict on the recruitment by Raw.
Well,
what do you make of this Brisbane Raw season,
the
pre-season
player
so far?
Who's caught my eye at the Brisbane Raw is Roy O'Donovan. He's the big fish who Robbie Fowler has signed. He knows how to score goals. He knows where the back of the net is, and Brisbane Roar need goals, and that was one of the problems last season. And they're a club who, one of the best histories in the A-League under Ange Postecoglou, they've sort of disappeared for a few years now. And I'd say one of the big motivations for Robbie Fowler and one of the key guidelines for him will be to make the finals. I think that's one of the priorities down at Brisbane. And he's recruited a lot of players, 9 or 10 players, so he's pretty much put in a brand new team. And one of the great things about football is you can just bring in players from all over the world. You know, the world is your oyster, and Robbie Fowler's taken that literally. He's brought in players like Roy O'Donovan. Aidan O'Neill has signed for the Brisbane Roar on loan, so he's been loaned out the second year in a row from Burnley. I was very impressed by him at the Mariners last season. I thought he really came into his own. Playing first-team football certainly benefited him, and I've no doubt he'll be doing the same at Brisbane. Scott Neville also joins Brisbane. So those are some of the A-League players, some of the players that we know a bit about in Australia. They've brought in a few other internationals that we'll get to know fairly soon. But I'm very impressed with those three signings. Scott Neville was a very important part of Perth's defence. I think at one stage, a few people would have had him in their team of the season. And that's how good he was at Perth Glory. And he worked so well with Perth's defenders. And I'm sure he'll do the same at Brisbane. So far, so good at Brisbane Roar. It'll just come down to whether these players can all click. The good thing that's happened with Brisbane is all these players have been signed in June, July. So there's still, you know, August, September and early October to gel together, for the teams to get to know each other, for the players to travel together, become best friends. And who knows, by round one, they can be fit and firing and ready to go, and as though they've been playing together for 10 years.
I'll be really interested to see how Brad Inman goes, return to Australia. So, interesting signings so far by Brisbane Roar.
And Robbie Fowler, I think, will be a really good acquisition for Brisbane. He's a big personality. I'd say he's the type of personality a team like Brisbane Roar need. I think he'll bring a lot of people to games. He'll bring the crowds in. Brisbane, regardless of how they're performing, they're always a club that average, you know, a decent crowd. And if they start playing well, and if Robbie Fowler starts showing off a bit of his personality in his conferences or in his game style, then if we could see that famous Brisbane Roar maybe come back once again. You never know.
Athos, we might take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at some of the A-League transfers.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Another one of the clubs who has been quite busy in the off-season, especially when the A-League season 2018-2019 ended, was the Central Coast Mariners.
Yes, they started with signing Alan Stadich as their full-time coach. They've given him three seasons, and when the Mariners give you three seasons, that can mean anything. That can be 3 months, 3 days. But no, I'm confident with Stadge they'll give him time to build his squad, because the Mariners, you know, have traditionally perhaps not done that with the likes of, you know, Paul Okon and Mike Mulvey. They haven't perhaps given them enough time to build their squads, because it is tough for the Mariners to, you know, to compete with a lot of these big sides. But he's handed Jai Ingham a lifeline. He has signed for the Central Coast Mariners, as has Abraham Majok, who we saw a bit of last season. But the one who caught my eye, Louise, was young Socceroos Sam Silveira, who joins the squad on a one-year scholarship deal. He was part of that under-20s championship squad in 2017. He took out the Wanderers youth player along the way, and now he just turned 18 and he's looking for some first-time minutes and to start his professional career with the Mariners.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of approach Alan Stadge goes with this coming A-League season, because we know that he wants to get off to the right start. And I think that he will throw in a blend of youth, but I don't think it'll be predominantly youth-focused.
Okay. Well, they've lost a number of wealth of experience. Andrew Hall and Ben Kennedy are the two big outs for the Mariners. And once again, it'll be an interesting season for them. They'll want to escape the depths of the bottom of the table and perhaps try and win a few games. And you'd think with someone like Alan Stadge, who did so well building this generation of Matildas, that he's the right person for the job, considering they've got such a young side. And he'll know how to bring these players through the system and ensure that he gets the best out of these players. It could be, you know, a 2 or 3 year project with him. So they just have to stick fat with Stadge and really have faith in him and the players.
And what about Daniel De Silva? He obviously returns from Sydney FC from his loan spell. One of the only clubs that actually utilise the intra-loan system that we have here in the A-League. So he is back in the fold for the Central Coast Mariners. Whether or not he stays here, we've obviously, as you touch on, got a couple of months before the A-League season starts. He could, you know, pen a deal away with another club. Who knows? But so far, Daniel De Silva on the books for the Central Coast Mariners.
That's right, and he'd be a starter if he does stay at the Mariners. He was a bit unlucky at Sydney. He got injured at the start of the season, and I think it just kept recurring throughout the season, so didn't quite get to see the best of him in sky blue colours. But he is a fantastic player. He was on Roma's books, as we know, for a bit of time. So anyone who gets that far must be a good player. One of the players who the Mariners also lost was Matt Miller, the player they recruited from South Melbourne in Victoria's NPL competition last season. He signed for the Newcastle Jets back in January, but it was for this coming season. So he was on the books of the Jets while playing for the Mariners, and we know how heated that rivalry is. So he'll be in Newcastle Jets colours as of this season, as will Nick Fitzgerald, who comes after spells at Adelaide United and Melbourne City. So they're strengthening their options up front, the Jets, trying to replicate what they did 2 seasons ago when they made it all the way to the grand final.
Yeah, and again, another club that needs to really try and get off the mark quite quickly this A-League season if they want to do any better than what they did last season.
Yeah, they came home with a wet sail in sorts last season, but they just started really poorly. Remember, they had Roy O'Donovan and Joey Champness out for so long.
And now Joey's going to LA to pursue his music career.
Best of luck to him. But they missed a number of players up front, and they sort of fell behind the eight ball. Won a few games late, but they just weren't able to do so. It was just too little too late for the Newcastle Jets. So one of the priorities for them and Ernie Merrick will be a fast start to the A-League.
That's exactly right. And moving on, Athos, before we wrap up the show, let's take a look at some of the Australians abroad, because that will be a good segue into our final couple of minutes on all of the European transfers and news. Daniel Arzani was actually named in Celtic's 24-man squad.
How exciting is that?
For their UEFA Champions League qualifier against Sarajevo. But unfortunately, him, like Australian teammate Tom Rogic, both were absent.
Yeah, strange one. He's been named in the squad, which I was very excited by that news. And considering he's been injured for so long, the sooner we see him out there running and weaving in and out of players, the better. But yeah, an interesting one that he was left, that he was nowhere to be seen, though I'm sure he'll turn up again somewhere, because they obviously have high expectations and high hopes for him at Celtic, as they do with Tom Rogic.
I think maybe Tom could still be on holiday.
Perhaps, but
they're giving him a bit more of a break.
Yeah, well, we know,
especially in these early stages of the UEFA Champions League qualifiers.
He's coming off a bit of an injury, quite a nasty one too. We saw him miss the Asian Cup as well. Not miss the Asian Cup, but he wasn't fully fit for that tournament. And it's never good when you're not playing 100%. So I'd say they want to really make sure that he is 100%, because he is a player who has been injury-prone throughout his career. So the sooner he gets to 100%, the better, not only for Celtic, but for Australia as well, who will embark on the start of their qualifiers for the 2022 World Cup.
Very soon, yes. Mm-hmm. We also heard that Zinedine Zidane's son, Luka Zidane, has officially left Real Madrid to join the second division team, Racing Santander, on loan, which the club confirmed today. Now, it only followed a couple of reports probably about a month ago, when Zidane said he wants his son, Luka, to be the second choice goalkeeper at Real Madrid, but he has opted not to go in that direction. Quite smart, maybe.
Understandably so.
And so he has gone to the second tier in Spain, and that will be on loan. His deal will expire on the 30th of June, 2020.
There you go, and he might become the first choice goalkeeper there. Not quite sure the situation is, but yeah, for a young player, minutes is everything, and I'd say he wouldn't be too much older than, 20 years old.
He's 21.
Well, there you go.
Close.
He's 21, and goalkeepers, as we know, can play till they're 40, as some of them have shown, and as George Janikian tells us every week, they can play till, they're 45, 50. So he's got a long career ahead of him. The fact that he's already at Real Madrid is a fantastic start. I'm sure there would have been loads of clubs looking to sign him on loan, at least. And it is difficult to break into that Madrid squad. They want to win everything, so not quite sure if he would have featured much in cup competitions or anything. But one thing's for sure, at the end of his loan spell and come June 30, 2020, he'll come back to Real Madrid a new man and a new goalkeeper.
We also heard away from Spain that former Liverpool striker Daniel Sturridge has actually been broken into in his LA house.
Yeah, and this was heartbreaking.
Someone actually took his dog. Who breaks into a house and steals a dog?
Oh, they break into the house and generally, take him the first thing they saw. And unfortunately for Daniel's case, it was his dog. So
his little fluffy Pomeranian.
Incredibly heartbreaking. But back to the football and my club, West Ham in England, who I do barrack for, unfortunately, in some cases, they're looking to sign Florian Thauvin from Marseille in a £40 million deal, which could see Javier Hernandez go back the other way. So that's a very interesting situation there. I think many West Ham fans would take that, considering Chicharito is at the end of his career. He's on the wrong side of 30, and as good as he is, I think he's sort of coming to the end of his fabulous career. And Thauvin has been linked with West Ham for not the first time he's been linked with the club, but he has played in France's Euros and in his World Cup as well. So he could be a fantastic link with some of West Ham's other players.
Another French player who has been linked to the English Premier League is young winger Alan Saint-Maxim. Now, mm-hmm. I saw him compete at the Under-20 FIFA World Cup for France. He was on fire. And I hear that Watford are interested in his services.
What can you tell us about him? What whereabouts does he... Does he play? Would he fit into a place like the Premier League?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I think he's got a little bit too much flair.
Okay.
He's a very attacking player. He's creative. He's smart. He's technically good. And he has been playing at Nice.
Okay.
In Ligue 1.
So he's been playing in France, so perhaps a move to Spain might soon in bed, or Italy, where he can show off his class. But yeah, it is a very interesting time of the season, generally dominated by the big stars. Neymar wants out of PSG. They can't fit Griezmann in here somewhere.
Christian Eriksen, he is another one on many people's lips because he's meant to report to Tottenham Hotspur's training, despite him too wanting to move away from the club, yet no bids.
Yeah, well, I've spoken to a few Tottenham people, and they actually said that they wouldn't, if they had to let Eriksen go, they wouldn't actually mind it because he is getting on. I think he's 28, 29. And if they can get some good money for him, he's got loads of currency in him still. He's a fantastic player, can hit a dead ball. So if they can get a good sum of lump of cash for him, then they can go recruit and get someone, you know, 23, 24, who's still, you know, yet to hit their peak and can maybe be what takes them to a Premier League title or a bit closer than that, because, you know, they're still within that silverware window. They're in that time frame now. They've got a great generation of players who are capable of success. They just got to get maybe a few more missing pieces to that puzzle.
We also heard that Tottenham Hotspur did extend the contracts of Ben Davies and also Harry Winks. 5 years for them.
Yeah, 5 years. Doesn't mean too much, though, I don't think. They could be gone by the end of the season. But no, it's always fantastic when you're a fan and you see your club sign a lot of these youth products for 5 years. It gives really good signs for the future.
And before we wrap up, Rafa Benitez. Yes, the old Real Madrid coach has revealed that he's already had more meetings in 1 week in China than 3 years with Newcastle United.
Yeah, not the kind of stuff Newcastle United fans want to be hearing right now. They have been linked to several managers, including Steve Bruce, who's the latest to be linked to the tune. So very interested to see which manager takes up the reins at the black and white. But it will be quite a long season for them. At the moment, they can still turn things around. They're a massive club. They've got tremendous support. And I think if there's one club whose supporters can keep them up and get them over the line, it's certainly Newcastle. So a big season awaits Newcastle United.
Massive season for Newcastle United. We'll leave it there, Athos, but thank you for joining me here in the studio. We'll see you again at the same time tomorrow. Bye for now.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.